Hey, what's up with you, bro? How was your weekend?
What you do for Juneteenth? You know, I had a nice little celebration for my nephew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was Kyle's birthday.
His first birthday. It was lit. But honestly, I was only paying attention to kind of like everything I kept seeing on social media when it came to it, you know? Like,
Feel that.
You don't really even get to understand why, you know, like, this is being talked about so much. Mm-hmm. Not saying that it doesn't need to be.
Right.
But it's like, look how far, you know, like, look how much time has been since this began, and nothing's happening.
And we really kind of still being affected.
Absolutely.
Entirely by what was going on, you know, back then, what they literally were just free, they're celebrating freedom from.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it definitely puts, you know, I think Juneteenth is it's only National Freedom Day I celebrate as an American because definitely, like, it's definitely a representation and almost a representation of the gaslighting that they did, you know, in our face. Like, you were free, you know, technically on the 4th, but, you know,
and they still found,
of course, niggas, you know, somehow niggas is late to the party.
You feel me?
And, you know, this is our day. So
it's crazy. But because we don't have any bright lights, you know what I mean?
Right.
In a sense, for our community, like, they're chosen from our history books, you know what I mean? I can remember, as far as, you know, elementary school, the only black, you know, or African-American, anybody tied to the, you know, multicultural race, you know what I mean, talked about or glorified in those books was Martin Luther King, you know?
Like, the history was very much curtailed for a reason.
Absolutely.
People were left out.
You know? You can see why we have no natural attention to anything else that was really, you know what I mean?
Right.
In those books, those stories that were being told, because they
stories within the stories.
Absolutely.
You know,
a lot was left out.
Listen, bro. You know, and that's why we're here. You know, we gotta
absolutely.
We gotta fill in the blanks.
Absolutely.
We gotta connect. We gotta connect some things.
Gotta connect,
bro.
This is the connection.
Bro. And I like how we got there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, you know, I'm Sab the Sensei.
I'm Kay Lindo.
And this is The Connections, you know, this is The Connections
Absolutely.
Podcast, where
Welcome.
Basically we are, you know, self-proclaimed music scholars. So we're just going to speak on, you know, just music history, black music history, American history, you know, I like to call it, because you can't really talk about anybody's, any nation's or people's history without talking about the arts. And how certain dynamics, you know, reflect and affect, you know, certain things that's going on. So, you know, that's what we here for, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We just some folks that just, you know, like to take a look back sometimes and see, you know, how we got here. So, yeah.
I definitely think knowing, you know, your ancestral lineage, you know, is something that ties to everything we do, you know, music, living, just down to how we think about ourselves as people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Self-esteem. How we identify.
Absolutely.
Representation and,
you know?
And you know, seeing yourself in history, seeing all types of people in history is very important.
The nice part about it is, I think it's like, it makes such an identity for us, you know, like, as weak as we are to seem as a people, you know, like, the strength that we gain just from what we naturally do, you know what I mean?
We just about it. Like, everything we do, there's a reason. There's a reason that, like we were saying earlier, like, you know, I would be scared, too. I'll be intimidated, too. You know?
Straight up. I went to a Braves game the other day, and I think I might have been telling you about this other day, and we got there a little late. So when we got to the game, there were people sitting in our seats, you know? And we get there, of course, we walk up, and I'm looking for a row, and I don't think I find it first. And then I'm like, okay, well, where I missed the first time is where I'm going to make up on the next time.
Right, right.
See what I'm saying? So I find where we need to sit. We walk past all the people. We get down the row, and here goes our seats. There's four people sitting in them. And, you know, of course, here, look how the situation folds out to be. It's you know, for Caucasians, right?
Not the Caucasians,
and you know,
bro.
You got it from the caucus mouse.
Are you sure they were from the caucuses?
You know what I mean? So
we don't know that.
They're sitting in our seats, right? Mm-hmm. You got a grandma, you got two sons and a girlfriend, okay?
They all in your seats.
You know, all in our seats, like, just chilling, enjoying themselves. Just... So I don't come off aggressive, you know what I mean?
Usually they get up when they
see. Absolutely, right? So I walk up and I say, hey, I think you're sitting in our seats. No, we're not. The simple aggression was like...
It's the audacity for me.
You know what I mean? Did I do something to you?
Right.
You know?
I'm just telling you the facts, ma'am.
And you want to catch an attitude with me? And then when I prove you wrong, you got an attitude about moving out my seat?
You know? But you thought you wasn't going to have to? You thought I wasn't going to sit in my seat?
No. And I look back
not this
at that
black
moment
ass,
and I'm like...
Not this black ass day.
Straight up. He was intimidated, and it wasn't even a me thing. I looked around and I saw crowds, you know, more crowds of our people, and I'm like, I just look and I look at the mass that they were in, you know, 5-6 of us, and I was like, I can see why they look at us and they be worried. And that's really just anybody, man, that has
that
stigma,
ain't nothing
you know?
But self-esteem and you know, mild bigotry. It could be. Like we say, we don't know if they were from the caucuses.
The caucus, you know? Might have came from.
We don't know where they were. Could be palms. Armenian or whatever, but.
You know what I mean?
But either way, she had attitude. Yeah. She had attitude, and that's all we needed to know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so it's, you can see the beauty in the bads and the goods of it. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. with the strength that you know, comes from your ancestry, because anybody, even them, anybody who's alive today,
right?
Somehow your ancestors figured it out how to get here. Now that might have been through a very violent and destructive,
right? Yeah, it looked a little different,
you know. But
they got it. They had to get here for you to get here.
So,
you know, it's good. It's good to know
ancestors.
The. Listen, let's get one to the ancestors.
Shout out to my grandma.
We gotta put an applause in there. Ancestors, bro. Gotta love them.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all did y'all thing. Absolutely.
Y'all did it, and y'all keep doing it. But, so on the Connections podcast today, we're gonna start off with basic, just like I said before, American music history, black music history. So I thought a good way to start there would be in blues.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
You know, Kay Lindo and I love music. As you can see, Kay Lindo's an artist. I'm a writer, and... Blues, I pretty much, every time I did a music class or something like that, you know, blues was a big portion, you know what
absolutely.
I'm saying? It was a big...
And especially, you know, through our younger ages, too.
Right.
That's something that's implemented into the...
Yeah, first
the
instrument I ever played or strummed or anything was a guitar
mm-hmm.
in my, like, kindergarten, first grade class, like... Yeah, so it's you know it's one of the pillars the you good.
Appreciate you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta keep the flame.
Gotta keep the
flame. You know what I'm saying? How you like that Blazy Susan over there?
Susan's good.
Susan's good.
Been good to me.
Put on some
cake. I can't even.
Blazy Susan.
I like Susan.
Hey,
we gotta.
Susan, hey, but we're gonna have to talk.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna have to talk. Susan look a little mixed.
Yeah, Susan look a little mixed.
But
we got to talk about Susan's daddy.
You know what I'm saying?
We got to see who Susan's
you know what I'm
daddy is. But
is that a spray tan?
I just have some questions. She got, I think it's hazel eyes.
For real.
Are they green? I don't know.
Y'all go check Susan out.
We gonna check Susan out. Let's get back on topic, bro. But I'm gonna get back to blues. So basically, let's start off. So black music before recordings. Okay, any music before recordings. It's folk music, you know what I'm saying? So for black people, black Americans, that was field music. That was music that was keeping them up in spirits.
Absolutely.
You're right, up in spirits
mm-hmm.
throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. And keeping them connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's crazy that music out of the struggle. Yep, that
yeah,
music came right out of the struggle.
Nobody asked for myself.
Oh, you
keeping us connected, keeping us, you know, occupied, keeping our spirits high, getting us through the day. Before that, you know, pretty much... We had, you know, gospel, we had spirituals, you know, things that were passed down.
Mm-hmm.
But one generation, you know, if you're thinking back then, one generation after slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So this is almost, you know, some sort of freedom. But for, you know, black people in the South, they haven't. Economically, they haven't jumped much. They've moved just from, you know, being.
It's just a statement being.
Right. It's really just a statement that was made.
Absolutely. It's just a statement.
But most people are still in. They're still either sharecropping or domestic roles, you know, just trying to stay alive, basically.
Somewhere still under control.
Right. Somewhere still not in full autonomy over what's going on with them. So they down there. They trying to survive. It's still very dangerous. You got religion, you know, playing a very big part for the most part.
Yep.
And, you know, people's day-to-day lives, how they carry themselves. And got this funky thing downtown in the city limits. Down in the juke joints. First time that, you know, black people are, you know, expressing and, you know, doing with their free time that they want to. Of course, people are still very religious. But, you know, on the weekends, you got most women that end up, you know, going to church. And then you got most men that are, you know, they spending their money, they down in the juke joints.
That's cool, man. Some things.
You know what I'm saying? They, you know what I mean? They up there doing their thing.
You know what I'm saying? They enjoy themselves.
They enjoy themselves.
You know what I mean?
I mean, so they got music too. People playing music up there, but it's not no spirituals. This is, you know, blues.
Yeah.
This is, the, you know, different variations of music. And basically, you know, the church and the juke joints get to beefing. You know what I mean? So
heaven and hell right there.
Right.
Seeing it.
Literally heaven and hell.
Straight up. And what's crazy is, I feel like that was pushed on them more so not just because of how they felt about what was going on, but more so how the religion was confined in them. You see what I'm saying? Like,
it was very, people were very religious and for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Even to this day, people
absolutely.
Are very religious for a reason. You can't tell people God ain't real.
You can't tell them about God. You
can't tell them about their God.
So, you know, just
let that one go, bro.
It's all right.
It's all right.
You ain't got to fight.
You ain't got to fight. But, you know, everybody don't, you know, everybody, unfortunately, don't have the same background.
No.
They don't have the same type of, you know, stuff going down. And, you know, this man called Robert Johnson was one of those men that, you know, if you don't know who Robert Johnson is, he is a, pretty much the pinnacle, the king, you know, the blueprint of Mississippi Delta blues. You know what I mean? Like, he inspired pretty much everyone, everything that you hear.
Yeah.
In regards to modern,
yeah.
you know, guitarist or, you know, any type of syncopation, you know, you may
hear.
Anybody
who really plays like that knows.
Slide guitar.
And if not, look him up.
I mean, there's plenty to see. You know, there's plenty. I watched a very good documentary on Netflix. I think it's called, like, Remastered or something. Remastered, and it's, like, talking about pretty much the legend, how true it is, or whatever. Very good. I suggest everybody take a look at that. but, yeah, Robert Johnson, he was this guy. Pretty much the way he grew up, his backstory, he had a kind of, you know, just bouncing around type of upbringing, you know. He kind of just always was moving around. His father that ended up kind of raising him was a sharecropper, and he just knew he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to do that. So, like most people, he was he played the harmonica at first, you know what I mean? So
he took what he could.
Yeah, he was doing what he could do to
back
see
then,
what happened.
It's very hard to afford even thinking about an instrument. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, I mean, but back then, imagine, like, just, like, it was all about access.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
To sell you one. You feel me?
It's all about what they can get their hands on. So he played the harmonica. He was doing that for a little bit. But he wanted to play guitar, but he just wasn't very good. You know what I mean? So basically, you know, legend has it that he went down to this crossroads. It was Crossroads Highway 61 and Highway 49. And sold his soul to the devil. You know, he went down there, met the devil, gave the devil his guitar. He tuned it for him, played something on it, and said, "Here, I give it back to you, but, you know what I mean? It's going to cost you something."
For sure.
He was like, running
pockets.
Dave
Chappelle,
you know what I mean?
Shit in one of his skits. That shit was funny as hell.
Maybe,
bro. I think he did the same exact thing.
Probably.
Yeah, no, it was funny as fuck. It was funny as hell.
Sound about right. But went down there, sold his soul to the devil, supposedly. Came back a year later. And was showing his ass, bro. Mm-hmm. He had a whole seventh string on that thing, and he was doing stuff that nobody seen before.
He was one of the first doing that.
One of the first doing that, and I mean, not to say there wasn't good guitarists out there, but
they wasn't
in the way he was doing it, you know what I'm saying? No one heard that yet. So
that's why he picked up the way he did.
Right.
That's why he got so much traction.
Right.
Think about that. That's the age of no social media. You're talking about somebody who literally got it from the ground up. That shows you true.
It
I think that's where you miss that
hustle,
true talent.
Man.
You know what I mean?
But they ain't see it like that,
man.
Bro. You know, we see it like that.
They
ain't
see
it like that. He ain't
see
it
like that's that. That's the connection right there.
Hey.
I gotta figure that out, because now it's just like, don't get me wrong, the playing field is just as hard as it was for them back then. But you're not dealing with as much inequality in your life. You see what I'm saying? As they were.
As they
you
were. Access.
Your field.
Right.
You
access and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Nah.
His pops was in the field.
Right.
These niggas say they really in the field, but...
He saw the possibility. I feel like a lot of things about Robert Johnson was a lot of, you know, vision and perspective that was, to them, dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
either it's getting too much popularity or it's just outside of what they believe.
It's too outside. It's too outside of what they really, you know, believe they need to stick to to survive. You know what I'm saying? And not to say, you know, it ain't right, but, you know, some people... I feel like, you know, the crossroads, people were saying in the documentaries and as well that the crossroads could be like a representation of like really like deciding whether or not you gonna keep doing what, you know, everybody think we should do, or you be yourself, you know what I'm saying? And that might look crazy as hell, but it is what it is. Like, you gotta do what's right for you.
It's the only way you can live your life.
Right.
Straight up.
But yeah, bro, they had a beef with this man. They ain't like this dude at all, man. He ran around. He was pretty much like... Basically, they wanted to say he sold his soul to the devil. But, you know, there's a whole nother story that said basically he went back to his hometown after they, you know, was, you know, kept booing him out, chastising him. He went back to his hometown trying to find his birth father.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't find his birth father, but ran into this guitarist. I believe his name was Ike Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm.
Ran to him. He becomes his mentor.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the best guitarists in the Delta at the time. I mean, and I'm sorry, in Hazelhurst at the time. And he lives across the street from a graveyard. So he goes out there and plays with him and practice with him at night, because he says that, oh, well, you know, no one's going to get bothered out here, first of all. And the spirits are supposed to help you when you, you know, if you play to them, you know what I'm saying? They're supposed to come and, you know, do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
this
it's
was
just like...
Know, like... This wasn't even on no voodoo type deal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This was just talking about.
They was just like, they gonna mess with us if we come out here and play for them. And so he went out there and built his craft.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you could believe that, you know, he did what he did at the crossroads, or you could believe this. But like, either way, this man, a year went by, and he made some kind of sacrifice, made some kind of dedication. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
To do what he had to do,
and it worked.
You know what I mean? You can't hate on that and call him the devil. Like, you can't knock the hustle. You can't knock the hustle.
That's the first thing they jump to when it's unbelievable to them.
It's Illuminati. This,
you know, when impossible becomes possible. I think that's where people start with the
like,
devil shit. You know what I mean?
I don't like that.
Why is God possible for all this stuff, but then he's not possible for this?
What did you say? It was when not possible becomes possible?
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Like, that's really what be... It really, you know, it puzzles people. But, yeah, bro. So, this man, he was out here. He's living his life. He traveled just like he, you know, traveled in his youth. He traveled all over the place and, you know, pretty much would play at these different juke joints and collect his money. He had women that he wanted to, you know, several times, you know, settle down with, for lack of better words, but every time, because of the man he was and what he did, you know, it just never worked out, whether it was family or, you know, other conditions. So it was just a real, he was on some real rock star lifestyle
shit.
Like, I mean, he was living that shit, bro. What you mean?
And they just hyped it up more with all that, you know, publicity they try to put about around him. Because
right.
When you talk about somebody, it doesn't matter how much you want to talk down. That shit is still going to make them you know what I'm saying, 10 times bigger if that's what it's supposed
to be.
It's
just going to add to the legend. And it's going, and he knew that. He mm-hmm. he knew it, and he fed right into it, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But with that being said, like, everybody has that, you know, everybody has that breaking point. Everybody has that, you know, time when they luck run out. Absolutely. You know what I mean? You're going to keep poking the bear.
Yeah.
You know, somebody going to come out here
and this system
and try you, man. You can't poke
that bear too many times. The system that, but even yeah. like, see, back then it was more ruthless, you know what I'm saying? Because there was no...
Yeah, it wasn't, no one was checking to see, you know, what was going down if somebody was killed. And especially who he was, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. No,
They'd rather him be gone.
They thought they were, you know, they thought they had, you know, rid themselves of, you know, a nuisance, you know, someone mm-hmm. stirring trouble.
So how did he pass away?
He was poisoned, man. He was poisoned. Rumor has it, well, I don't know how much rumor it is, because, you know, I seen an interview, one of the dudes he rode with was like, yeah, he was messing with somebody's girl, mm-hmm. and that night he was being, like, real wild and out with it, you know what I mean? Her dude was there, and they gave him, like, an opened whiskey bottle. His friend saw that it was open and, like, slapped it out of his hand, tried it, and, like, tell him, like, don't drink that, whatever. And he was like, bro, you know, whatever, cocky.
That's why I picked that shit up.
Take that shit up. Drank that shit anyway.
Damn, he was...
Took 3 days, 2 days, 3 days to die. Yep. So, you know, he was just living on some, you know, yeah. I wish a nigga would.
And they did.
So,
isn't that crazy?
It's wild as hell, but yeah. What's crazier, though, is like, you know, even though he passed... You know what I mean? Like, of course, a legend like that, he can't just stop there. No, so
absolutely not.
There was like a talent recruiter named John Hammond, mm-hmm. and he was basically this white guy. He was like, "Yo, I'm gonna like show Carnegie Hall, better yet, an integrated audience, mm-hmm. African American music, like rock and roll." Blues, all that stuff, swing, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm going to provide a platform. Times. Right. Absolutely. He was like another one, but you know, but before his times, sure, he saw some bread in it too. But mm-hmm. still, you know, we appreciate his contribution.
Absolutely.
He said, hey, y'all, I'm going to bring all these people together. I'm going to do it at Carnegie Hall. But I need this man, Robert Johnson. So he sent somebody down here to go get him. By the time they see, he already down in the dirt. So they're like, all right, cool. I'm gonna have to go get a recording to play. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. They play the recording. Crowd go crazy. They loving it. So crazy. Now that's in night. I believe that's like what, that's in 1936. So the recordings that they play, I'm not sure which ones they play, but the recordings are from Johnson's 1936 and 1937 recordings. It was 29 in total recordings that he mm-hmm. did, and basically it was the only recordings he did, and he pretty much had a lot of, pretty much it was like a whole, if you could say complete, like the way people be dropping 29, 50, 15, you know, songs on the album, you could say this was his first, like,
that was his first,
this is first like
that
tape, first, you know what I mean?
Right there.
This man, and it's like he
first
really
right, there.
Right, that's a real one. So he really like was using a lot of like lyricism and like a lot of that, you know, the blues dynamics that you'll see in the, you know, talking about a woman or whatever, or the way he would use hoodoo references as mm-hmm. far as, you know, talking about he had like one of his songs was Come On In My Kitchen, where basically he was talking about taking contents out of a woman's nasty sack, I believe, or some kind of sack she would wear.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it would have contents in it. He took it out, so basically her sexual power mm-hmm. is gone. That's and she funny, can't yeah. keep him anymore. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. Like he knew exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm. He was using all types of, you know,
yeah.
metaphors and all type of stuff.
He knew what they wanted to hear.
Right, he knew what they wanted to hear combined yeah. with the, you know,
he
the actual
they
music.
Go against you know what they was putting out about him.
Right.
Yeah.
They couldn't he fed in all totality as an artist, I feel like he fed into that stuff. So yeah, mm-hmm. bro, they play that. And basically after that, you know, it started to grow. It started to influence other styles. Like, the New York style, the Chicago style, mm-hmm. you know, especially basically with the, you know, how the Harlem Renaissance and everything.
And we ain't talking about Trump right now.
Right.
We a little ways back.
Listen, we're a little ways back, man.
The drill ain't even thought of yet.
Right.
I think they was just inventing a drill. Somebody was just thinking about that in their sleep.
They was just contemplating it. It was just an idea, for man. Real. But yeah, it really drastically changed how everybody was deciding how they were going to go about mm-hmm. being a guitarist mm-hmm. or any type of artist. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So yeah,
expressing
man.
Themselves in this.
Right. So I mean, he went down as who he went down as, but you know, he was supposed to be a legend. I mean, mm-hmm. so you seen the Lil Nas X music video, right, bro? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. What's your take on it? How you feel?
I mean, I'm not a fan personally, you know what I'm saying? I respect the man's grind.
I feel you, bro.
I definitely respect it. You know, what I like the most is that I think people have a bad taste in their mouth from when he, you know, came out. Right? Mm-hmm. And to me, I respect how he went about doing what he did because of how he felt about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not saying you gotta feel ashamed or nothing, but he kind of proved to people in a way how the industry works. Mm-hmm. You know, if people think one way about you, they're gonna give you the overall grace on everything. Mm-hmm. You feel me? And they'll give you all the accolades. You'll get paid. You'll get famous.
Right.
But the minute you want to say something like that,
the minute you want to stand in anything close to your truth,
exactly, that's when they start to just throw pins at you.
Man,
you know?
I don't really know about you, bro.
Straight up.
But yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Lil Nas X. Just because of, you know.
I'm a fan of his work.
I love that he's petty. And I love that he wants to be himself. You know what I'm saying? I'll always support that.
Yeah,
Old Town Road got on my nerves, but, you know.
It was funny.
It just got played out.
You just gave him your art.
You didn't know they was going to do that. No one knows what people are going to do with their art. So, it is what it is. But as far as this, you know, music video and the, you know, devil concept or whatever, or the hell concept, mm-hmm. I don't think this man is doing anything wrong, to be completely honest with you.
And we're not supporting, though.
It's not that I'm...
It's not even like...
It's not even I have... You don't have to support whatever... I don't even think he's supporting any Satan worship or anything.
That's what I'm saying.
I think
that's
this man is honestly taking advantage of a marketing opportunity and what you guys are saying about him anyway.
He's going with the motherfucking flow. He's not going against the grain of what... Because if he keeps fighting that shit, guess what? It's going
to
get
worse for
him. It
doesn't do him any justice to try to sit here. And I wouldn't waste my energy either, honestly, mm-hmm. to sit here and argue with people who don't want to understand.
He know his truth.
He know his truth. So if I'm going to... If they going to give me this big old budget... Let's do this. Let's run this shit.
Run it.
I can see a couple mil I can run off this.
I think a lot of people have too much pride. They think, you know, when I was legit, it was like, I always felt like, oh, music is my, you know, this everything's my life. Mm-hmm. It's not saying it's not. Mm-hmm. But I've realized when I've picked up other things that I love to do is that music is something I do. Mm-hmm. I do it very well. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So you got to take yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just got to realize you might think you hard. But motherfuckers don't think you are. Or people mm-hmm. might think you are, but they only like you for the music that they like from you. You see what I'm saying? And when you switch that, they don't fuck with
they
you.
They don't like
what?
You.
That's just what happens.
I don't know if it was so much the music. I think it was just the concept. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it was just like, we don't want to see that, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever. But it's like, y'all attack him every day. And like, you're saying this because since he came out or whatever. Because before, I feel like before this, it was the whole Billy Ray Cyrus thing.
Absolutely.
When he literally, what is Old Town Road was a pop hit, but it was a country song. Like, mm-hmm. why were y'all fighting him about his placements on certain stuff and all that? Like, yeah,
that's what music's made for.
Right. He made the music. It was in the genre, but y'all was over here making his whole life live in hell. So it's like, I feel like he's just making a statement.
Unless you know how much it means to them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. people opposing him being in that genre, you mm-hmm. know, or being in that
just
category.
Just being himself, like, and successful in absolutely, anything. It's know? it's very bothersome.
Something's always
got to
gotta be taken away.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's why Lil Nas X is our connection for the episode. Basically, we're connecting the parallels between him and Robert Johnson, how he, for you know however short it was, aligned himself with the devil to, for lack of better words, enhance his persona and market absolutely himself and survive, you know, with all the moving around he was doing and all that stuff. Like, he had to do what he had to do. And you can, he knows himself. And
they
you,
know themselves. And only right, they will know. And guess what?
Only he will
to
know.
Each his own.
And to each his own, you got to do your thing.
Each his own.
Do what's best for you. I'm going to do what's best for me. But,
straight up,
you know, you can't take anything away from they artistry at the end of the day.
And they success.
And they success.
And the thing is, you everybody mad it has happened. Had that happen to them where your mm-hmm favorite rapper, how many times you heard niggas talk about Jay-Z?
Mm-hmm.
And all of your these famous cats from back in the day, and even niggas current.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's because they, you know, the
Illuminati this shit.
You feel me? Bro. But guess what? Why am I going to sit here and fight you about what you think about
right
me? Guess if I'm making it back,
mm-hmm,
I got nothing else to prove.
I don't have nothing to say.
if I'm
Jay-Z rich, I don't have nothing to say about, or even Lil Nas X rich. I don't got nothing to prove to y'all. And I think that's the whole point, is that, you know, I think it's a jealousy thing. And also what I wanted to say too is that, you know, Robert Johnson got, you know, good or excellent or, you know, phenomenal
mm-hmm
in a year. He absolutely disappeared and nobody really, you know, until things were coming together,
so
no one really
same,
knew
kind of
what happened. Lil Nas X came up over a summer.
And not even.
Not even, like.
I saw that song one time, some dude I met, he does like SoundCloud pieces
mm-hmm
or whatever. I seen a guy post about it.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, Old Town Road at 2 million. And I'm like, 2 million. What the hell
Old
is he
Town
talking
Road
about?
Did.
That shit went.
And that man was like, look at his sister.
Run. He made a run.
He
it
made
was a joke.
Run.
It was I promise you, he did not go in the studio saying.
Couldn't have been.
This finna be that.
Or he could have. Shoot, you don't ever know. I mean.
You know what I'm saying? But somewhere in there, the niggas is like, yo, if this blows up, just know, man.
Just
it's
know.
Crazy.
It's gonna run. What happens, the kids got a hold of it. You know when
absolutely
the kids get a hold of
yes,
it.
Yes, I take that back.
It's really.
They aim for the right group, and it went.
Listen.
It went.
When the kid, but the kids heard it from the parents. Because I don't think nobody was like, really like, oh, we gonna put this in kid programming or whatever.
But once they saw,
but once they saw that the kids was liking it, they were like, oh, yeah.
Go straight to the kids. They was at every school.
Come to Nickelodeon Awards. Come to the...
Everything.
Yeah, all that.
Everywhere.
But yeah, bro.
It's crazy.
People going, you know, this ain't new. People gotta understand, ain't nothing new under the sun. People been hating on people for, you know, just being themselves
just
and being and
before
being good. So,
you know,
it is what it is.
Crazy.
But, shoot. Speaking of blues, you know, speaking of New York and Chicago and, you know, different styles. When all that was going on, people are being kind of pushed or feeling like there's other things, you know, with the wars being fought and
mm-hmm
more industries needing black labor in the North. Everybody's, you know, migrating. You got
mm-hmm
the Great Migration going on. So Harlem Renaissance
mm-hmm
is starting. You know, the Apollo Theater opens up. I believe the Apollo Theater opened up. It's like 1934. So there's a place, there's a haven for people to go. You know, they got the Cotton Club and
so was 100 years ago. Almost 100 years ago. Is that
almost
crazy,
100 years ago, bro. But I mean, if you think about it, that's not that
that's
long
not that
ago, bro. Like,
it is, but it ain't.
It is, but it ain't. Because time,
flies.
Think about it, it be flying, man.
Flies.
But yeah, bro, you got all that stuff going on. You got all these great women, you know, starting to
absolutely
to come in and really not, in true blues
mm-hmm
persona, not give a damn about how nobody feel you got
and staying
you
strong in that.
Right, and standing
like
strong
that
in it,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, I'm sure everybody hopefully has, you know, had a chance to, you know, at least see a couple of things, you know, like Ma Rainey's movie on Netflix.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, that was really good. The Billie Holiday adaptation on Hulu.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
We got lots to do now.
So, you know, it's so much to still connect, so much to still
absolutely.
Do, okay?
Absolutely.
You know, I'm really excited about this.
Same. This was awesome.
I
definitely
hope you guys
awesome.
Are excited about it as well.
Stay tuned.
We're gonna stay consistent with this thing. We're gonna keep this thing going. We got so much more to, you know, talk about.
Absolutely.
Hope you join back with us next time to see what all we connect in this music journey, you know. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your day, and I thank you for listening.
Love.
All right, guys, that's going to go ahead and conclude the episode of The Connections today. Thank you so much for listening. Please like and subscribe and follow on all streaming platforms. We are also active on Instagram at theconnections.pod on Instagram. Also, if you have any suggestions or like to let us know what you think about the show, you can email us at theconnectionspod@gmail.com. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to hearing back from y'all. Peace.